stay inspired and uplifted. Download the Pioneer Network app today on your favorite platform.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Good Morning Live. I am so glad that you're with me today. We are in day two of our journey through the opening of the Gospel of Mark. And I really do believe that the Lord is going to speak to us and help us today. You know, I said we're going to go through the Gospel of Mark, but I was hesitant to say I'm doing a verse-by-verse teaching because we've barely got through verse one and we're still there. So I've learned a long time ago, I just kind of just say, hey, we're hanging around the Gospel of Mark for a little bit versus saying we're going verse by verse. But yesterday we talked about meeting the real Jesus again, not the Jesus of culture, not the Jesus of religious opinion, not the people that Jesus shape around their preferences, right? But the Jesus revealed in the Word. And today, Mark introduces us to somebody very different, somebody by the name of John the Baptist. Now, John is one of those Bible characters that you cannot ignore. What I love about John is he doesn't come to us in the scripture polished or smooth. He's not trying to impress anybody. He's not wearing the latest fashion. He's not trying to build a personal brand. He's out there in the wilderness wearing camel's hair, eating locust and wild honey and preaching repentance. Now, I don't know about you, but if a man showed up at your church wearing camel's hair and eating bugs, we would probably have some questions, right? You know, somebody on the hospitality team would probably be saying, Pastor, I think we need to talk to him. Somebody from the security team might be watching a little bit closer that day. If he showed up at the church breakfast with locust and wild honey, I'm not sure that it would make it into the fellowship table, right? But here's what I love about John. John was not trying to be impressive. John was simply trying to be obedient. And come on, there is a big difference there, because sometimes we spend too much energy trying to impress God when God is simply asking us, don't try to impress me, just be obedient. And that's the thing about John is he knew who he was, but just as importantly of knowing who he was, he knew who he was not. He knew his assignment, he knew his message, he knew his place, and his whole life pointed to one thing, that Jesus is coming. Get ready. And that's what we're talking about today. I want you to lean in, because this is not just a message about John the Baptist, right? This is a message about our hearts. It's a message about clearing out the clutter. It's a message about making room for the Word. It's about letting the Holy Spirit deal with anything that is blocking our simple obedience. Because sometimes, listen, here's what I've found, is we want God to move in a bigger way, but we've not made room for him in a fresh way. So today, I want to teach through this passage from Mark chapter 1, verses 2, and here's what it says. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, right from the top, I want you to notice that phrase, prepare the way of the Lord. This is not just something John preached to Israel. This is something the Holy Spirit still works in us today. What does he want to do? He wants to prepare our hearts. He straightens what has gotten crooked over time. If your heart's anything like mine, right? He clears what has become cluttered. He deals with what has been ignored. Not because he's against us, because he wants more access in us. You know, if you know me, you know, I love my 1981 Ford Thunderbird, and I've been wanting to get it in our garage to do some paint touch-up work on it. And you would think it's just as simple as pulling it in the garage. But if your garage is anything like mine, it involves probably 3 days of pulling everything out of the garage, reorganizing, restraightening, just so that I can have room to pull the Thunderbird in, right? And it's not because the garage within itself doesn't have the capacity to hold the car. It's that there's so much other stuff in the way. I didn't mean to preach that good this morning, but there's so much other stuff in the way that what I want to get in there, I can't. Why? Because it's not that it can't house it, but because there's too much other stuff in the way. And that's what John the Baptist preaches. That's what this sermon is about. He doesn't reveal these things to us because he's against us. No, he reveals them to us because he simply wants more access in us. So he's looking at our hearts. He's looking at our clutter. He's looking at how the path got crooked somewhere. And he says, prepare the way. The Holy Spirit wants to do even greater things in you, but there's some things that have to be worked out. There's some things that have to be removed. There's some places that just have to be cleaned out so that the Holy Spirit can come in and gain more access and do more in our lives than we ever thought was possible. And I want to say this right at the beginning. Listen, God never asks you to clear something out because he wants to leave you empty. Right? He clears something out because he wants to fill that space with more of him. So let's look at that word again, at how Mark introduces John the Baptist here. Mark chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. He says, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Again, I want you to notice that phrasing right from the top, as it is written. That's small, but that's important. Mark doesn't say, as people have felt. He doesn't come in and say, as culture has decided. He does not say, as the religious system preferred. He says, as it is written. And that tells us something very powerful here. God's work is always connected to God's word. God does not need human permission to move. He does not need popular opinion to agree with him. He does not need culture to validate what he wants to do. When God speaks, his word carries the power to produce what it is that he has already said. So here's what I find interesting about this is John the Baptist did not just show up randomly. His life and his ministry had already been spoken by the prophets. That before John ever cried out in the wilderness, God had already written about his assignment. Listen, that means John was not trying to invent his purpose. Oh man, if we got that. You know, we tell our kids, you can be anything that you want to be. Theoretically, yeah, but you know, they will never be, and you will never be, I'll never be the fullness of what we were created to be until we become what God has designed us to become, when we step into our God-given purpose. And that's what's so powerful about John here, is he wasn't trying to invent his purpose. He was stepping into what God had already spoken. And that's important for you and me. Because your life is not meant to be lived by accident. You are not just here to survive another week. You're not here to just pray, you know, another prayer. You're not here to just pay the bills and manage your stress and get through the day. I know some days it feels like that, right? But there is a God-given assignment on your life. And your assignment will always agree with the word. The word shows you who Jesus is. The word shows you who you are in him. The word shows you how to live. The word shows you what matters in our life and what doesn't matter. The word shows you what to take on and what to refuse. The word shows you what to pursue. And if you want to live steady in an unstable world, come on, we have to become people of the word, not just someone who, yeah, I own a Bible, right? Not just someone who hears preaching, not just someone who can quote a verse occasionally, but someone who settles the word in their hearts and says, if God said it, that is where I stand. I love Psalm 119 where it says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. So if his word is settled in heaven, then guess what? It needs to be settled in us. Remember what the scripture says, as it is in heaven, so let it be in the earth. If his word settled in heaven, then it has to be settled in us. Listen, your feelings may not be settled. Your circumstances may not be settled. Other people may not be settled around you, but the word has to get settled in you. And when the word gets settled in you, then faith begins to rise. When the word becomes more real to you than what you see, that is why, listen, the enemy works so hard to get people distracted from the word. Because he knows if the word gets in your heart, if faith ever gets in your heart, if boldness ever gets in your mouth, if obedience ever gets in your steps, come on, because when obedience gets in your steps, what happens? Momentum begins. So today, that's why I declare, I live by the word. I believe the word. I stand on the word. I prepare my heart with the word. The word is not weak. It's not outdated. It is not empty, but the word is alive and working. The word is settled. And if you build your life on what is written, you will not be easily shaken by what is happening around you. And come on, this is why John's ministry mattered so much. He was not stepping into a man-made idea. He was stepping into a God-written assignment. And there's a big difference there. When your life lines up with what God has written, heaven begins to back what you are doing. So again, let's go to the verse where it says, John was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now listen, that's a powerful description. Again, John knew who he was, but most importantly, he knew who he was not. That may sound simple today, but it is one of the marks, if we could get to this, it is one of the marks of spiritual maturity. Not just knowing who you are, but knowing who you are not. John was not confused about his assignment. When people asked him who he was, listen, he didn't try to make himself sound impressive. He didn't say, hey, I'm one of the son of the priest. He did not say, I am the miracle born to Elizabeth. He did not say, I am the one filled with the Holy Spirit from my mother's womb. He had a list he could have spouted out to build his ministry, to build his brand, to be more confident, to get people to like him, to open doors for him. But no, he knew who he was, but he also knew he was who he was not. In essence, what he said is he said, I am a voice. And that's humility. That's clarity. That's assignment. John understood Jesus is the word. I'm just the voice. Remember what John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God. John 1:14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So John knew this, that Jesus is the word, but John is just a voice. And every word needs a voice, and that's still true today. The world doesn't just need believers who silently agree with the gospel. The world needs believers who become a voice. Not, you know, an obnoxious voice, not a prideful voice, not a harsh religious voice, but a clear voice, a bold voice, a loving and spirit-filled voice, a voice that says, Jesus is still Lord. That says, even in 2026, Jesus still saves. Jesus heals. Jesus restores. Jesus is coming again. That the gospel is still good news to all who hear. The world needs voices today to still declare the kingdom of God is at hand. And I want you to hear this. You do not have to be famous to be a voice. One thing you note about John is there was no marketing team behind him. There was no social media platform. He didn't have a studio like this. He didn't have a polished platform. John was in the wilderness wearing camel's hair, eating locust and wild honey. And yet people came from everywhere to hear him. Why? Because there was an anointing on his assignment. And when you are in your place doing what God has called you to do, you don't have to strive to be someone else. Oh, I love that. You don't have to strive to be anything else. You just have to be faithful doing what God's called you to do. Some people today are so exhausted because they are trying to be the word, right? When God's only asked them to be a voice. You are not the Savior. I'm not the Messiah. You are not responsible to fix everybody. You're not responsible to carry what only Jesus can carry. You're simply called to point people to him. And listen, you can be a voice in your home and a voice in your workplace, a voice in your family, in your church. You can be a voice online. You can be a voice in your generation. Not because you are great within yourself, but because you know the great one. And listen, that's where real boldness comes from. Real confidence does not come from ego, but it comes from surrender. Real boldness comes from knowing I am not here to represent myself. I am here to represent him. And greatness in the kingdom is not marked by how many people look at you. It is helping people see Jesus. And John knew that, and that's why he said, I am a voice. That's why Mark declared that John was a voice. And God today is still looking for voices, voices who will speak the word, voices who will tell the truth, voices who will carry grace, voices who will not be ashamed of the gospel, voices who will say, this is the way to Jesus. So now John's message was this: prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. You know, in ancient times, when a king was coming to a city, what they would often do is they would send a messenger to go ahead of that king. And the messenger would announce, hey, the king is coming. Get ready. Clear the road. Remove the obstacles. Make the path straight. So John was doing that spiritually. He was not, you know, necessarily clearing rocks out of a dirt road, but he was calling people to clear the spiritual debris from their hearts. And come on, that is a word for us today if we ever need it. Because again, sometimes the issue is not that God is unwilling to move. And what did he say? Just, you know, knock and the door would be open. God's like standing in heaven, just like, you know, just waiting. Come on, you just draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Just open the door a little bit and I'll come rushing in. It's not that God is unwilling to move. Sometimes the issue is there is just so much clutter in the way. What is clutter? Wrong thinking, unforgiveness, pride, sin, disobedience, distraction, fear, maybe religious assumptions or self-dependence, old mindsets. And John came saying, prepare the way. In other words, make room for the king. Make room for his word. Make room for his correction in your life. Make room for his presence. Make room for his leading, for his power. I want you to hear me carefully. God does not ask us to prepare the way because he's trying to make us feel condemned. Not at all. He asks us to prepare the way because he wants access. He wants the crooked places made straight. He wants the hard places softened. He wants the clutter removed. He wants the heart ready. Why? Because when the heart is ready, the word can finally produce. Just remember how the seed sower would sow the seed. Jesus taught this in the parable of the sower. The same seed produced differently depending on what? The soil. So the problem was not the seed. The problem was the condition of the ground. Sometimes we're throwing our hands up to heaven saying, God, why won't you do it? God, why isn't this working? And the problem isn't the seed. The problem is the soil. So if our heart is hard, the word cannot go deep. If the heart is cluttered, the word gets choked out. If the heart is shallow, the word does not develop root. But come on, when the heart is good ground, the word produces good fruit. And friends, this is why preparation matters. That's why I say, come on, Lord, make my heart good ground. Not emotional ground, not just excited ground, not just Sunday morning ground, but good ground, receptive ground, obedient, humble ground, faith-filled ground. John's message, come on, was not complicated. It was simply prepare, repent, get ready. The King is coming. And I believe that that is what the Holy Spirit is saying to some of us today. Clear the way. Get the clutter out. Stop making excuses for what God has been trying to deal with in your heart. Stop protecting the thing he's trying to remove. Stop calling it personality when he calls it disobedience. That'll preach to somebody today. Stop calling it, oh, I'm just being cautious. Just being careful now. Come on. No, God, he said, he called it fear. He said, I told you what to do and I'm calling it out. It's not cautious, it's fear. Stop calling it wisdom when God calls it unbelief. Well, you know, we don't move without wisdom. Listen, if you got a word on it, you have wisdom on it. Sometimes we try to change a title to something to justify our disobedience. But come on, let the word do its work. Because whatever God asks you to remove, he's only making room for something better. God never clears something out of your life to leave you empty. He clears it out to make room for more of him. And friends, this is where many believers miss it. They want more of God, but they also want to keep everything that is crowding him out. They want more peace, but they keep feeding the anxiety. We want more faith, but then we keep meditating on fear. We want more joy, but keep rehearsing offense. We want more spiritual strength, but we keep neglecting the word and wonder why we don't feel it in our life. But that's why John steps in and says, listen, prepare the way. Make his paths straight. In other words, get aligned, get ready, make room. Because when the King comes, you don't want the road cluttered. I've often heard it said, you know, and I apologize, I know this is a morning program, but one of the, you know, obviously the definition of rape is to force yourself on somebody else. And I've often heard this preached that God is a gentleman and he forces himself on no one. So the more room you make for him, the more you'll be able to receive from him. You want the way prepared. So Mark tells us in 1:4, he says, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, John preached repentance. Now, listen, repentance is not just feeling bad. Repentance is not just crying. Repentance is not just being sorry that you got caught. Repentance literally means a change of mind that results in a change of direction. It is a turning. It's when you turn from sin and you turn to God. And friends, that is important because some people try to turn from things without turning to Jesus. And they say, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to quit that habit. I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to be a better person. But listen, repentance is more than stopping a bad behavior. Repentance is turning to Christ. Because if you turn from sin but don't turn to Jesus, you are still dependent on yourself. And self-dependence cannot produce spiritual life. Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. I love his clarity. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Turn from sin. Turn to Christ. Turn from the old way. Turn to the good news. Turn from self-rule and turn to the kingdom. Turn from fear and turn to faith. Turn from shame, but turn to righteousness. Leave darkness, but turn to light. Repentance is not God trying to take joy from you. Repentance is God bringing you out of what was stealing your joy to begin with. Repentance isn't God trying to shame you. It's God inviting you into more freedom. It's not punishment. It is an open door. It is the grace of God giving you the ability to change direction. And come on, some of us need to hear that today. You are not stuck. You are not trapped. You are not too far gone. You are not too bound. You can turn. And by the grace of God, you can turn. All you have to say is, Lord, I am done walking that direction. I turn to you. And that, friends, is where freedom begins. And repentance is not just for the person who has, you know, never known God. Believers need to stay tender. We need to stay correctable. Believers need to stay quick to respond to the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but the longer I walk with God, it's not that repentance becomes less and less of an issue in my life. It becomes more of an issue. It's like, you know, you think that after you walk with God some years, it's like, well, you know, I very rarely need to repent. No, now you have a bad thought, a bad motive, and the Holy Spirit's all over you, and you got to repent, and you got to ask for forgiveness. The longer you walk with him, the more repentance has to be a part of your life. So believers need to stay quick to respond to the Holy Spirit. If the word corrects you, then receive it. If the Spirit convicts you, then respond. If God puts his finger on something, then don't harden your heart. Just say, yes, Lord, because correction is not rejection. Correction is proof of sonship. So I love what Hebrews says, for it says, for whom the Lord loves, what is it says he corrects or he chastens. He scourges every son whom he receives. So the Lord corrects those he loves. So when God dealt or deals with you, don't run away. Draw near. It means he's preparing the way for greater fruit in your life. Repentance is not the end of your joy. It is the doorway back into your joy. So we have to be quick to respond to the word, tender to the Holy Spirit, not resisting correction. Because the quicker you turn, the quicker you recover. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I want wasted years, right? Wasted months, wasted days. You really lean into the time aspect that we have on this earth. And it's like, I don't want to go around that same mountain, God. If just deal with it, just help me, just get it out of me. Why? Because the quicker you obey, the quicker you move forward. The quicker you respond to the Holy Spirit, the less ground the enemy gets to keep. So friends, repentance is not defeat. Repentance is how you step back into victory. And Mark gives us this detail about John in Mark 1:6. It says, now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. Now, let's be honest. John was unusual. Camel's hair, leather belt, locust and wild honey. That is not exactly the breakfast menu that most of us are looking for. Right. And if you invited John to brunch, you would probably ask ahead of time, you know, John, can you bring something normal to eat? But again, John was not trying to impress anybody. He wasn't trying to fit into the religious culture. He was not trying to look like the priest in the temple. He wasn't trying to win a fashion award. John's life made a statement. He said, it said, I am separated unto God. My focus is my assignment. I'm not living for comfort. I'm not living for applause. I'm not living for the approval of people. And there is something we need to learn from that. Now, listen, I'm certainly not saying that, you know, we sit here today and, you know, hey, you need to go buy some camel's hair and start eating bugs. So please don't do that, right? That's not what I'm saying, because that's not the point. The point is this: John was not controlled by the culture around him. He was marked by his assignment. And believers today, we got to recover that. We have spent so much energy trying to blend in with the world that we were called to reach. We have spent so much energy trying to be accepted by people who do not even know our God. And John shows us something. A consecrated life carries authority. A separated life carries clarity. A focused life carries power. So John was just not weird to be weird. He was different because he belonged to God. And people, there is a big difference there. Some people are just strange and they try to call it spiritual. And that's not what I'm talking about. We are talking about a life that is fully yielded to God. A life that says, Lord, you have my habits. You have my schedule. You have my motives. You have my mouth. You have my future. I belong to you. And I want nothing to hinder what you want to do through my life. And that is consecration. That does not make you less joyful. It makes you more free. Because the more yielded you are to God, the less controlled you are by everything else. The less controlled by pressure, temptation, the less controlled by fear, and more controlled by the Spirit. And that is the life we want. Not religious bondage, but Spirit-led freedom. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The sons of God are the ones led by the Spirit of God. So today, declare over yourself, I am led by the Spirit. I am controlled by the Word. I belong to Jesus. My life is available to God, not because I'm trying to look overly spiritual, but not because I'm trying to impress anybody, but because my life has a purpose. My life is available for God's assignment. And that's what John modeled for us. He was unusual because he was uncontaminated. I think is the word I'm looking for. He was different because he was devoted. He was bold because he was filled. He was effective because he was obedient. And then finally today, we come to the center of John's ministry. Mark chapter 1, verse 7. And he came preaching, saying, here comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So come on, John understood his assignment. He was not trying to gather people to himself. He was pointing people to Jesus. He said, there is one coming after me who is mightier than I. I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie his sandal. Come on, friends, that is humility. That is revelation. That is spiritual greatness. John knew that the message was greater than the messenger. The one he was pointing to was greater than the one doing the pointing. And this is where real ministry must stay. Whether you are preaching or singing or serving or leading or giving or praying or producing or hosting or encouraging or raising your children in the Lord, the goal is not that people become impressed with us. The goal is that people encounter him. John 3:30, he must increase and I must decrease. That is a kingdom statement. He must increase, I must decrease. Not my ego, not my reputation, not my need to be seen. Jesus must increase. And when Jesus increases, everything gets in proper order. And friends, this is why pride is so dangerous. Pride makes you the center. Humility makes room for Jesus to be the center. Pride says, look at me, but humility says, look at him. And here is the beautiful thing. When you decrease, you do not become less valuable. You actually become more useful in the kingdom of God. God can do more through a yielded person than he can through a self-promoting person. John was greatest because he was clear. He knew, I am not Christ. I am not the Savior. I am not the answer. I am a voice. I'm a signpost. I'm a messenger. I'm here to point people to Jesus. And friends, that is greatness. Greatness in the kingdom is surrender. Not platform building. Greatness in the kingdom is pointing people to Jesus. And that is something all of us can do. You may not preach to crowds. You may not have a podcast or a platform or a microphone, but you can point people to Jesus. You can point your children to Jesus, your coworkers to Jesus, your family to Jesus. You can point hurting people to Jesus. You can point discouraged people to Jesus. And sometimes you do it with your words. Sometimes you do it with your faithfulness. Sometimes you do it with your peace. Sometimes you do it with your generosity. Sometimes you do it with a testimony. But your life can say, there is one greater, look to him. There is one greater, look to him. And then he says, I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And this is powerful. John says, what I do has limits. I baptize with water, but Jesus is coming and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So John called people to repentance. John could baptize them with water. John could point them to the Messiah, but Jesus would do what only Jesus can do. Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand this. Christianity is not just behavior modification. It is not just cleaning up the outside. It is not just trying to be nicer. Jesus came to fill people with the Spirit of God, to empower them, to strengthen them, to lead them, to make them witnesses. What did Acts 1:8 says? It said that you would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon you. Power, not weakness, not religious striving, but power. Power to live, to obey, to overcome, to speak, power to be his witnesses, power to walk in holiness. So some believers are trying to live a Christian life in human strength. But friends, human strength is not enough. You need the Holy Spirit. You need his fruit and his gifts. You need his fire. And Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. So today, don't settle for dry religion when Jesus came to fill you with living water. Don't settle for powerless Christianity when Jesus said you would receive power. Don't settle for being stuck in fear when the Spirit of God came to give you boldness. And you can ask the Lord today, fill me fresh. Strengthen me by your Spirit. Lead me today. Use my life. Let my steps be ordered of you. Because the same Jesus John preached is still baptizing, still filling, strengthening, and empowering his people today. Jesus did not save you so that you could struggle on your own strength. No, he gave you the Holy Spirit so you could live by his power. Now, right where you are, you can just say this, Holy Spirit, fill me fresh today. Holy Spirit, help me point people to Jesus today. Holy Spirit, use my life. So as we look at John's life, there are three responses from John's life. I want to give you three responses. First, be aware. Know who you are and know who you are not. John knew who he was and he knew he was not the Messiah. you are not the Messiah either. You are not called to fix everybody. You are not called to carry the weight of the world. You are not called to be everything for everyone, but you are called to know Jesus and point people to him. There is freedom in knowing your assignment. And some of you today need to receive that. You can stop carrying what Jesus never asked you to carry. You can stop trying to be the answer. You can stop trying to be everybody's source, and you can point them to the source. And second, to be a signpost, point people to Jesus. Your life should say, this is the way to Jesus. Your word should say, this is the way to Jesus. Your generosity should say, this is the way to Jesus. You may say, I do not know everything, and that's okay. I don't have to know everything to point people to the one who does. You can say, I was once lost, but now I am found. You can say, Jesus changed my life. You can say, let me tell you about what the Lord has done in me. Do not try to do spiritual things in natural strength. Do not try to fulfill your God-given assignment with human effort alone. John was filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit. The early church was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and you and I need the Holy Spirit today. So ask, receive, yield, walk with him, be led by him. And as you do, your life will become a voice. And it will say, Jesus is Lord. So before I pray today, I want to speak to our Good Morning Live family just for a moment. Today, we talked about being a voice and being a signpost. And this is really what the Pioneer Channel is called to be. We're not just a voice carrying the gospel. We want to be a signpost pointing to people to Jesus. And right here on Good Morning Live, through this preaching and through teaching and through interviews and through Christian programming and through our apps and through television platforms and through every open door the Lord has given us, we are working to tell the story of Jesus every way possible. And when you become a Pioneer Media partner, you are helping us do that. You are helping the word go into homes. You are helping people be strengthened in faith. You are helping someone hear the gospel who may have never walked into a church building. You are helping us carry this message further than we could ever carry it alone. And I believe there are people watching today who are not just called to receive from this ministry, but to help send it. So if the Lord is speaking to your heart today to help us do that, go to ptnnow.com and become a Pioneer Media partner today. Stand with us monthly, sow into a program, you know, sow into helping us preach the gospel, help us point people to Jesus. And to every partner already standing with us, I just want to say thank you. You're helping us be a voice in this generation. So now before we go, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your example of John the Baptist. He was a voice, a messenger, a signpost. He prepared the way of the Lord. And today we ask you to prepare our hearts, to remove the clutter, to strengthen the crooked places, to soften the hardened places, to correct wrong thinking. Bring us into alignment with your word. Lord, we do not want to be distracted. We do not want to be controlled by culture. We do not want to be led by fear, but we want to be led by the Spirit. So fill us each today fresh. Give us boldness and clarity. Give us humility. Help us point people to Jesus. And for everyone watching today who needs to repent and believe the gospel, I pray that this would be the moment of turning. Not turning halfway, not turning just from sin, but turning fully to Jesus. And if that's you today, pray this simple prayer with all of your heart. Say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins, and I believe you rose again. I repent. I turn from my old life. I turn to you. Forgive me. For save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Make me new. I choose to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, thank you so much for being with me today on Good Morning Live. And remember, that God loves you. He's not mad at you. And you know what? He's got a wonderful plan for your life. So bye-bye for now.
Good Morning Live is made possible by the prayers and generosity of faithful partners and friends like you. Thank you for helping us proclaim Jesus, encourage believers, and impact lives around the world. To learn more, visit ptnnow.com.